It is 19 December, Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Report. We have lots of things to go over on today's report. Okay, we got some news from Israel today, from All Israel. Israel's vaccine committee recommends COVID shot for children from 6 months old. An Israeli vaccine committee has recommended vaccinating babies and toddlers even before Pfizer has requested EUA of its product from the FDA. This would make Israel the first country in the world to vaccinate children at this age. The recommendation came after the committee discussed several issues, including recommending that children ages 5 to 11 who recovered from COVID, still get vaccinated 3 months after recovery. Okay, the next one has an implicit bad word in it. I will not say it, but it'll be in your mind. If you don't want to hear a bad word, please close your ears for just a second. Trump lashes out at Netanyahu and says something him, okay? This is an important article. Many of you have probably read this, but those that haven't should be apprised of the situation. President Trump ripped his former close ally, Netanyahu. The final straw for Trump was when Netanyahu congratulated Biden for his election victory while Trump was still disputing the result. The first person that congratulated Biden was Netanyahu, the man that I did more for than any other person I dealt with. And that is true. He had Netanyahu at the White House immediately after being inaugurated. He gave him the highest dignified welcoming to that White House of anybody. I watched it, and he treated that man well. From that day all the way through his presidency, he kept Israel at the front of his administration's focus, and he did everything he could for Netanyahu. And he personally feels that Netanyahu let him down, not just let him down, but actually betrayed him.
Yes.
Donald Trump has a lot of faults. He's a guy that is just like all of us. He's got things that he does wrong, but he is a man of integrity, and he expects loyalty to people he is loyal to, and he did not receive that in his eyes, okay? Bibi could have stayed quiet. He has made a terrible mistake. I liked Bibi. I still like Bibi, but I also like loyalty. Not only did he congratulate him, he did it on tape. He was very early, like earlier than most. I haven't spoken to him since then. Blank him again. Other world leaders did congratulate Biden first, but Netanyahu came out with a video of congratulations to Biden. Trump was considered one of the most pro-Israel presidents in American, if not world, history. I would say the most pro-Israel president of any leader in history. He moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. Remember now, all of the presidents before Trump, at least the past five before Trump, every one of them promised to do that. Every one of them in their, when they were, their candidacy, going for, running for president, every one of them promised to do that. Trump is a man of integrity, and he fulfilled his promise. Every single thing that Trump said, I am going to do this, he did. If it didn't come about, it was not his fault. He said, I'm going to get rid of abortion. The courts overrode him. That's not his fault. He said, I'm going to build a wall. There's not a wall there because for three of his 4 years, they worked against him. Finally, the wall started to get built. And the moment that he was out of office, they started to stop building the wall. But he did every single thing that he said he was going to do. He did. He's a man of loyalty and integrity. All right. He moved the embassy to Jerusalem, acknowledged the city as Israel's capital, and recognized Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Trump and Netanyahu were extremely close during Trump's term in office, probably the hallmark of both of their terms in recent years, with the signing of the historic Abraham Accords, the normalization of relations between four Muslim nations and the State of Israel. In response to Trump's attack, Netanyahu's office released a statement. Netanyahu really appreciates the great contribution that President Trump made to the State of Israel and its security. They understood that they had their pants down in front of the world when they did what they did. Now, I'm talking about now that Trump has said this. He's very upset with him. He's never talked to him again, and I wouldn't either. I told you as things were winding down with Netanyahu that he just needs to go. He got to the point where he was a hindrance to Israel. He was being a hindrance to the peace process, and he was also a hindrance to our relationship with Israel. Okay. He overdid his time, and he did a great job. I liked him as a prime minister, but he needed to go at the end. And unfortunately, when he went, he did the wrong thing. From the Times of Israel, Trump, I thought Israelis would do anything for peace, but found that not to be true. Now, I always stand with Israel. Okay, you know that. I'm on the side of Israel. When somebody attacks Israel, they are in the wrong, in my view, because Israel doesn't go and attack people first unless they have a reason to do so. Okay, but it is true that they have not worked for peace. After the first accords, what were they called, when Israel offered them everything but the kitchen sink and the Palestinians turned them down? There should have been peace at that time. On any normally thinking nation in the world would have taken it. They did not. And since then, they've continued to not work for peace. Okay. But at the same time, now that that is over, Israel has been offered more things, like by Trump, and they have not taken them. They have not worked forward. I'll read you the article and you'll see that. But obviously, none of this was to happen because the timing of the Lord is what takes precedent. He knew what would happen before anything has happened. He's got the timeline set in Daniel 9. He's got the timeline set with the times and seasons, which belong to him alone. They will come about in their due time. But here's what Trump said. In newly released interview excerpts, President Trump offered more startlingly frank views on Israel's leadership during his time in office. A day after he was quoted in an astounding assault on Netanyahu, in the latest taped comments, Trump said he believed Netanyahu did not want to make peace. He never did. I would agree with that. It kind of shows, if you look at his term as prime minister, that he had opportunities that he turned down. It's not a bad thing, but at the same time, he could have done more to attempt to work for peace. It wasn't meant to be. I'm not making an indictment against Netanyahu, but what Trump says is correct. Claimed he prevented the Israeli leader from annexing the West Bank land. I got angry and I stopped it. Offered his favorable opinion on Defense Minister Benny Gantz. I think he wanted to make a deal. If he won, I think he would have been a lot easier. And his evolving view on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I had thought the Palestinians were impossible, which they were at that one point. I said they turned down everything but the kitchen sink, and what was offered was not good enough for them. And they set this up where they are now no longer worth dealing with for the most part. And the Israelis would do anything to make peace and a deal. I found that not to be true. Trump said that when he came into office, he'd asked Netanyahu for overtures toward the Palestinians, raising the possibility of a construction freeze in the West Bank. But the Israeli leader often demurred. Bibi did not want to make a deal. Even most recently, when we came up with the maps as part of his admin's peace plan, Netanyahu's reaction was, oh, this is good, good. Everything was always great, but it never was. He did not want to make a deal. Now, I don't know if he didn't want to make it for political reasons or for other reasons. I wish he would have said he didn't want to make a deal instead of, because a lot of people devoted a lot of work. But I don't think Bibi would have ever made a deal. That's my opinion. I think the general, speaking of Gantz, wanted to make a deal. Trump said he believed that Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas wanted to make a deal more than Netanyahu. And I will be honest, I had a great meeting with him. Abbas, right? I had a great meeting with him. And we spent a lot of time together talking about many things. And it was almost like a father. I mean, he was so nice. Couldn't have been any nicer. Trump recalled he then told Netanyahu that I had a very good meeting with Abbas. We can definitely do a deal. The Israeli leader's response, well, let's think about it. Let's not move too fast, you know. After he started talking, I said, well, wait a minute. You don't want to make a deal? Then he said, well, And the fact is, I don't think Bibi ever wanted to make a deal. Once again, not making an indictment on Bibi at all. He had his reasons for not doing things. But the problem is that he was not honest with our president through the process. That's the thing. Trump spent a lot of time trying to make things work out, not knowing that nothing would work out because they didn't want it to work out. And that's a problem. When you're dealing with somebody, you need to just say, this needs to be put on hold and here's the reason why. And Bibi was not willing to do that. And he was also willing to be the first person to openly and publicly acknowledge the new administration, even while Trump was trying to get things to work out in his favor. So you can see that they're not everything worked out as some of you might have thought it worked out. And this was all news to me, too. So just thought I'd share that with you. We have some news concerning Christianity. My friend lives in Iligan City in the Philippines. Dennis, he's a missionary over there. He said, Northern Mindanao, including Iligan City and the Central Visayas, have taken a major direct hit. We are safe, but the Visayas and the major cities of Cebu and Bohol have been totally destroyed. If anyone wants to send relief funding, we will act as a legitimate distribution center to make sure that aid gets to the right people. He and his wife, Remy, have volunteered to do that. So if anybody has a burden for the people in the Philippines, I can set you up with his email address or whatever. And I know he can take PayPal. I don't know any other way that he does take, but I'm sure there are ways. So if you want to help them, let me know. From Mail Online, Idaho church replaces stained glass window depicting Robert E. Lee and George Washington and Abe Lincoln with an image of America's first black female Methodist bishop wearing an LGBTQ scarf. There you go, Methodist Church of today. From the Christian Headlines, University of Iowa to pay $1.9 million for discriminating against Christian groups. Good. 4 years after booting a Christian organization off campus because it refused to change its beliefs, the University of Iowa will pay nearly $2 million to settle a pair of religious discrimination lawsuits. The Iowa State Appeal Board agreed to pay for attorney fees and damages in a pair of cases involving two Christian groups, Business Leaders in Christ and InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. At issue was a university requirement that groups affirm a human rights policy banning discrimination on the basis of religion, sexual orientation, and gender identity, among other classes. The controversy began when a gay student, and I had reported on this when it happened, said he was refused a position within Business Leaders in Christ because he would not affirm its belief statement, which affirms the traditional biblical view of marriage and sexuality. The university deregistered Business Leaders in Christ after it refused to change its beliefs. In other words, you have no right to believe what you believe. This person has a right to believe what they believe, and you must put this person into your organization, even though you don't believe it, he does. So it was a completely unfair thing that they did. It has cost them $2 million. Good. The university later deregistered InterVarsity Christian Fellowship for similar reasons. The university lost multiple rounds in court. So not only did they lose the money, they also will have to pay all kinds of court fees. And I'm glad. I'm glad to hear it. And I hope that this continues where people stand up for their rights as Christians. This is important. From the Epic Times, another one. Boston's Christian flag debate heading to the United States Supreme Court. Over the past 12 years, there have been 284 flags, from LGBTQ rainbow flags, a Turkish flag with the Islamic star, to communist China flags raised on a public flagpole owned by the city of Boston. But when a local civic organization proposed a Christian flag, officials from the city, known as the Cradle of Liberty, said no, making it the first time ever that a proposed flag was rejected for the poll. The debate is now heading to SCOTUS with some unlikely bedfellows in support of the Christian organization bringing the case to the nation's highest court. Listen to this. The ACLU is among more than 15 organizations, including the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation and the Foundation for Moral Law, that have filed briefs in support of Camp Constitution, a Massachusetts organization that promotes Judeo-Christianity and denounces abortion, critical race theory, homosexuality, and other ACLU-backed social issues. This is government speech masquerading as religious bigotry. We have the United States, we have 11 states, and we have the ACLU of Massachusetts, the most liberal state in the entire country. It really confirms our point that it's very clear what happened here is a violation of the First Amendment. Good job, even for the ACLU in this. I hope that Massachusetts ends up paying a giant fine for this. I don't know if they were sued for monetary or just to get the flag up. I don't know which, but I hope that Massachusetts has to pay a big fine, and I hope that the lawyer costs were expensive, and I hope the people of Massachusetts suffer because of it, okay? If they don't like it there, they can move down here. That's what I think, all right? So I know they're... No, I'm talking about the Christians. I'm talking about the Christians, the people on the right that vote normally. I've got several friends in Massachusetts out of the entire state. I think there's about five people that are on the right. And a couple of them I know, and they actually attend here on the Superior Word or watch the videos later. And I think that if they are being penalized because of what they believe, they should just close the door, turn out the lights, and come to Florida. Now, I know that's hard to do when you like the fall in Massachusetts and the summertime and the cool water and ooh, but I couldn't take it. Listen, I've said this before. I said it to somebody just recently. I used to go up to Massachusetts every single summer to help my father. Okay, I did this for years and I worked very hard. It was no vacation. And when I would get there, I was out in the most remote part of Massachusetts. In fact, just until a couple years ago, it had RFD, rural free delivery for the mail. I mean, it's way out in the middle of nowhere. The nearest neighbor is 5 acres or more away. It's very, very wooded. And I'd go out in the woods all by myself with a chainsaw and I'd be working and someone would walk up. And after about 15 seconds, I think, I got to leave this place because they're so liberal. All they can think is warped, twisted thoughts. That's how bad it is. Okay, you're in the most beautiful place you've ever seen in your life, and yet the people are crazy. Okay, Times of Israel. Oh, this is news from Mideast and Africa, from the Times of Israel. Erdogan, U.S. effectively agrees with Israel that Iran deal doesn't block path to bomb. Israel's ambassador to the UN, Gilad Erdan, claimed that the Biden admin effectively agrees with Israel that the 2015 Iran nuclear deal does not block Tehran's path to a nuclear weapon. I'm encouraged that today, even the Biden admin, many of them are the same people who designed this agreement. They agree with us and say we need a longer, stronger, and broader deal. The meaning is that the old deal, which was signed during Obama's term, is not sufficient in blocking Iran's pathway toward becoming a nuclear power. While Biden did indeed campaign on reaching a longer and stronger nuclear deal with Iran after first returning to the 2015 accord, no one in his administration has ever publicly said that the original agreement fails to block Iran's path to a bomb. Erdogan argued that Iran will have no interest in negotiating a subsequent and more stringent agreement that reins in its ballistic missile program and proxy activity in the region, because once the U.S. returns to the original deal, sanctions will be lifted, and the U.S. will lose all of its leverage against Tehran. That what came out last week. This week, they're talking about the deal may not make it at all. That would be the best thing in the world for Israel at this point. I don't know what's going to happen, but it is true what Erdogan said. Nobody in the administration has said this is going to stop nuclear weapon being built. What it will do is it will stop them from moving forward for a temporary amount of time, and then they'll come in with a stronger deal. And his logic is that will never happen because the sanctions will be lifted and it'll be too late. There'll be no impetus to come up with a new deal by Iran. From the Times of Israel, no evidence Iran has decided to weaponize nuclear weapon program, CIA chief says. Can you imagine that? The guy in the CIA says no evidence Iran has decided to weaponize nuclear program. That guy must be on lewds or something. I don't know what he's thinking. The head of the CIA said that the U.S. does not have evidence that Iran has made a decision to weaponize its nuclear program. We just talked about the missiles. That's part of weaponizing a nuclear program, is having missiles ready to be able to deliver a nuclear bomb, okay? The U.S. spy agency doesn't see any evidence that Iran's supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, has made a decision to move to weaponize. Iran has been accelerating its nuclear enrichment in recent months in what some analysts believe is a negotiation tactic in the ongoing Vienna talks aimed at reviving the multilateral nuclear accord. Last month, Iran announced it had almost doubled its stock of enriched uranium in less than a month. Okay, well, that has nothing to do with building a bomb, I suppose. We have more than 210 kilograms, which is 463 pounds of uranium enriched to 20%. Well, that has nothing to do with getting ready to build a bomb. And we've produced 25 kilograms, which is 55 pounds at 60%. Once again, it has nothing to do with building a bomb. A level that no country apart from those with nuclear arms are able to produce. 60% enrichment is a short technical step away from the 90% needed for a nuclear weapon. Under the JCPOA, Iran was barred from enriching uranium above, I've said it many times, does anybody know the number? 3.67%. And they've got 200 plus pounds at 20%, and they've got 55 pounds at 60%. But they're not trying to build a bomb, according to the CIA chief. That guy is insane. Iran claims it only enriches uranium for medical purposes and research. Mail Online. Listen, this is an important article. I need you all to pay attention to this. This is important. More than 40 camels are disqualified from a $65 million Saudi beauty pageant after dozens of animals were given Botox, facelifts, and muscle-boosting hormones. Yes, the beauties were booted from the royal contest held in the desert outside Riyadh. Judges this year are using specialized tech to weed out nip-and-tuck breeders. Cheaters use procedures to improve the shape of camels' heads, necks, and humps. Yes, they've had enough in the Middle East. Now something interesting. Nothing could top that, but we have something interesting from Mongolia. From Science News, new species of armored dinosaur is discovered. Paleontologists have discovered what they say is a new species of the ankylosaurid dinosaur genus Tarkia that lived during the Upper Cretaceous epoch in what is now Mongolia. Dubbed Tarkia Tumanove, the ancient creature had a unique set of characters, including a shovel-shaped beak, and it didn't need any Botox for it either. Okay, the Book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? Before I give you our first article, I will tell you that tomorrow is what? Anybody? The winter solstice. It's the longest night of the year. So get out your blankets and the cold and, yeah, get out your jammies, and it's going to be a long, long night for you. Okay, Florida, it's not so bad because we're closer to the equator, but the people that are up north have these really long nights. Tomorrow's the longest of them. Okay, Mail Online. China is building a 12,000-mile-per-hour hypersonic plane that can transport 10 passengers to anywhere in the world within 1 hour. Yes, the 148-foot-long plane is nearly a third longer than a Boeing 737. A third longer, and it can only hold 10 people. Yes, 12,000-mile-per-hour aircraft will be able to fly faster than 5 times the speed of sound. Chinese scientists based their plane's design off plans abandoned by NASA. Officials aim to have a fleet of the aircrafts by the end of 2035 and expand the planes to carry 100 passengers by 2045, although their purpose has not yet been made clear. Zero Hedge. Because we abandoned them because it was too expensive. And so they were just out in the public domain and somebody just used them. So that's how it came about. But they used them, and to them, expensive is different than expensive to us. To them, cost doesn't matter because human life is very cheap and they got lots of humans. So that kind of stuff doesn't make quite the same difference that it does here. Yes, coming soon to U.S. near you. Zero Hedge. Game changer. The FDA approved eye drops that replace reading glasses. Yes, the FDA authorized eye drops that may possibly replace reading glasses for millions of people in October. And they entered the market this week. It's definitely a life changer. I would not need my readers as much, especially on the computer, where I would always need to have them on. The drops known as Pilocarpine and sold by pharma outlet Allergan under the name Vuity. Think of Vision Vuity. That's kind of a neat name. May help the 128 million people in the United States who are nearsighted. One drop in each eye, according to the business, may enhance close-up eyesight for 6 to 10 hours. That's incredible. Mail Online. Meet Snag. Tiny bird-inspired drone-robot hybrid can fly through the air before perching on branches and could be used in search and rescue missions. Snag is a 3D-printed robot bird with landing capabilities inspired by a falcon. And when you watch this thing land, it lands just like a bird does. It's very cool. Speaking about birds, one of the people in this church right now has an infestation at his new home. Okay? Some people get rats. Some people get squirrels. This guy had, some people get bees. Okay? This guy had, has a bird infestation at his home. He lives right next to Jungle Gardens now. And in the morning, he has peacocks the size of peacocks all over his car when he comes out. Yes, it's true. He tries to shoo them away and they come right back. They're attracted to his truck. So, yes, I just moved in here recently. I don't want to give his name online without his permission, but you all can rag him about the peacocks. He's got pictures. You can go look at him, okay? Yeah. Can you imagine having that type of an infestation in your... Okay. Okay, so these birds land and they can grasp a variety of branches or trucks, I suppose. Engineers claim Snag could be used for wildlife monitoring and search and rescue. Tests in an Oregon forest have shown it can land and take off from tree branches. Good stuff. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the Book of Revelation prophesies of, including peacocks on your truck. Let's see how that's developing. From Zero Hedge, San Francisco drug overdose deaths nearly triple that of COVID.
What?
Yes. More people, three times as many people dying from overdose in San Francisco than have died of COVID. And they're worried about Omicron variant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zero Hedge. New Zealand approves... I don't want to use that word. New Zealand approves something that people do in groups of up to 25 people as part of new COVID rules. This is their priority in New Zealand. New Zealand Prime Minister Ardern announced the easing of COVID-19 restrictions on national television based on a traffic light system. Now, green is good, yellow is getting bad, and red is bad, okay? That's bad. Remember that. She said that this type of gathering for people, for up to 25 people, are permitted. Ardern spoke about New Zealand's reopening timeline known as the traffic light system. For some context, the traffic light system categorizes freedoms available to vaccinated Kiwis based on location and whether they live in a red, orange, or green zone. The traffic light system aims to end lockdowns in New Zealand and enforce vaccine passports. For instance, in Auckland, a major port city in the north of the country's North Island, lined with super yachts, the metro area is currently classified as a red, meaning the worst, district, meaning Kiwis can engage in everyday essential activities. Ardern explained, I can confirm that Tinder liaisons, now if you didn't know what I was talking about, now you know, Tinder liaisons have reopened. This is her priority, standing there as the Prime Minister of New Zealand, adding, it's not strictly embedded in the traffic light system, but it's a given. Up to actually 25 people in a red area. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that the Prime Minister... What?
Don't go to church.
Don't go to church, but 25 of you can get together and do this thing in a red district.
That's a red light.
That is a red light. I'm telling you what, this world... You keep thinking about how bad can it get, according to Genesis 6, before the Lord destroyed the entire world. That right there, I can't think of anything more perverse than what that woman was openly saying to the people of New Zealand. New York Post. Man takes 10 COVID vaccine shots in a single day. A man who was vaccinated against COVID-19 up to 10 times in a day on behalf of other people has been called unbelievably selfish and sparked an investigation. I call him unbelievably stupid. Astrid Korneff, group manager of operations for the COVID-19 vaccine and immunization program in New Zealand, said the country's Ministry of Health was aware of the issue and taking the matter very seriously. Stupidity. Stupidity. I'll tell you something. New Zealand. I might as well just wad that one up and just chuck it right in the can. Sorry, I know there's some people in New Zealand that attend and watch, and I feel so bad for those people, just like the people in Australia. Those nations have gone to the complete... They're just gone. Oh, and we're all heading down there. I mean, it's just we might just be 5 minutes behind them, but the whole world is heading in this direction. The state of morality is declining. We already saw that a minute ago. Here's some news on that from The World News. Lesbian couples to be able to open a joint file at the sperm bank, just like straight couples. What's the point? from Just the News. Report recommends taxpayers pay expenses for out-of-state abortions in California. They're so upset with people having their abortion rights taken away in other states. We'll pay for you to fly to California. We'll give you a hotel, and we'll pay for your abortion. This is their priority in the state of California, which is should be wadded up and chucked into the same basket as New Zealand. Should SCOTUS overturn Roe versus Wade, reproductive rights advocates say California should fund travel expenses like gas, lodging, transportation, and child care for in-state and out-of-state patients seeking an abortion. The California Future of Abortion Council, yes, they have that, delivered 45 recommendations to the California State Legislature, calling on the state to reduce barriers and expand access to abortion for both in-state and out-of-state patients. The council was convened by Governor Newsom in September, shortly after Texas Governor Abbott signed one of the nation's strictest abortion laws that banned the procedure after 6 weeks. In addition to funding travel expenses for patients seeking an abortion, the report from the council recommends lawmakers reimburse abortion providers for services provided to individuals who do not have other means of paying for care, including those traveling from out of state who would have qualified for coverage under Medi-Cal. From GB News, Police Scotland slammed for saying they will record rapists as women if the suspect identifies with being a female. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Mail Online. Fordham University fires a white English professor who mixed up the names of two black students in class. Professor sent an email after the incident about his innocent mistake and blamed a confused brain. Christopher Trogan, 46, was allegedly fired from the university nearly a month after the incident occurred. After class, Chantel Sims and another unnamed student emailed Trogan to express their frustration with the professor's mistake, explaining they believed the mix-up was due to their skin color. If I make a mistake between, we got Don and Lynn there, and I say, Don, who are you going to get upset about there? Are you going to say, you know, how stupid are these people that they have to complain like that and get a guy fired? All because you're black or white or pink or brown or whatever? It's insane. Mail Online. Here it goes. I've watched my last James Bond. 007 could be non-binary. Britain's most famous spy could in the future be someone who considers themselves, that's all wrong in English, neither male or female. James Bond could identify as non-binary in the future. Barbara Broccoli. Ooh, broccoli. Poured cold water on suggestions the role could go to a woman. She said, no, we're not going to give James Bond to a woman. But she conceded future Bond could be non-binary and use the pronoun they. Okay, I don't know. Some other news from around the world, and as I say each week, it much better than this. Please be sure to check out the Superior Word Sermons. From Zero Hedge. Border Patrol agents forced to undergo woke re-education training amid massive immigration crisis. This is the thing that the U.S. government thinks is important, is that they need to go through immigration re-education training. We got all these people coming in here that have ill intent for the United States of America. While the U.S. faces the greatest immigration crisis in its history, the Department of CBP is forcing Border Patrol agents and other staff to undergo unconscious bias training. Agents are today being educated on the impact of stereotypes and unconscious biases. In a seminar hosted by Susan Fleming, who is described as an expert in gender bias, the report further notes that the seminar will draw on academic research, business experience, and unique perspectives to explore the complex web of beliefs and biases that influence our interactions with colleagues, as well as discussing strategies for individuals and organizations to start overcoming unconscious biases. There you go. That's the priority of the CBP today. Courier and Press. Kentucky tornado. I know you've heard about it. I just want to give you some things that happened over the past week concerning this. Kentucky tornado may have broken 1925 tri-state tornado's longest continuous path record. On March 18th, 1925, A tornado touched down near Ellington, Missouri. The tornado would stay on the ground for the next 3.5 hours, moving through 3 states and over 2 major rivers amid 219-mile path. That was a big tornado that lasted a long time, and it went 219 miles. It was the longest continuous path for any tornado in recorded history, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. Reports indicate one of Friday's tornadoes touched down in northeastern Arkansas and then stayed on the ground for some 223 miles. Okay, 223 minus 219 is what? Anybody?
Four.
Not that big of a difference, okay? Before retreating to the sky in Kentucky's Breckinridge County. Mail online. Biden points to... More specifically, climate change, because global warming could mean something other than that. He goes to climate change. In mourning, at least 84 killed by 30 tornadoes across 5 states included Kentucky's deadliest storm in 130 years. So that was the deadliest storm in Kentucky in 130 years, which means 130 years ago there was a more deadly storm. Thank you. From Fox. It's been more than 8 years since an EF5 tornado last struck the U.S., and that's the longest span on record. So we had one that was a 5 8 years ago, and we've had none for 8 years, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Epic Times. Experts refute claims linking deadly tornadoes to climate change. Thank goodness we got some people out there that actually understand that things happen in life.
Yeah.
Mail online. America's deadly year. You talk about deadly. Yes, this was a catastrophe that happened, but it's natural. It's an act of God, and that happens, okay? You don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know where it's going to happen. This can be averted. America's deadly year. Philadelphia now has more murders than New York City and L.A. and a dozen major cities in the U.S. smash annual homicide records, and they are all Democrat, all of them. This can be averted. They are all Democrat cities. How do I know? I went and I checked every one of them. I went, how many were the votes? Which way is the state voting? And every one of them, Democrat. Mm-hmm. Indianapolis, Louisville, Toledo, and Baton Rouge broke previous records that were set just last year. St. Paul, Portland, Austin, and Rochester shattered longstanding murder records from the 1980s and 1990s. Democrats, that's the problem. That is the problem in this nation. Breitbart, Polak... Mark Meadows, the guy's name is Polak, and he's giving a commentary. Polak, Mark Meadows' lawsuit could end the January 6th committee. They've had lawsuit after lawsuit. There's about 80 of them out there right now. This one is a little different. Mark Meadows turned the tables on the U.S. House Select Committee on the January 6th attack,
Yay.
Filing a lawsuit in federal district court in D.C. that argues the committee itself, the committee, is unconstitutional and in violation of the House rules. The lawsuit makes some familiar arguments, such as the committee is violating the Constitution's separation of powers by encroaching on executive privilege, which everybody else is sued about as well. Former Trump aide Stephen K. Bannon, who is being prosecuted by the supposedly apolitical DOJ for contempt of Congress, is making the same case against his subpoena in federal court. But Meadows goes further, pointing out that the January 6th committee violates the terms of its own enabling resolution. The resolution, H.R. 503, provides that the committee shall, not may, shall consist of 13 members, 5 of which shall be appointed after consultation with the minority leader. Those are shalls. They are inviolable. They must occur. But the committee only has 9 members, not 13, 7 of whom are Democrats, and only 2 of whom are hand-picked anti-Trump
yes.
Republicans.
Yes.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi rejected the 5 members chosen by the House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, an unprecedented step to ensure a one-sided inquiry. Furthermore, Meadows' lawsuit points out that while the chair of the committee can order subpoenas, that authority is not absolute. H.R. 503 requires the chair of the committee to consult with the ranking member before issuing a subpoena for a deposition. But the committee has no ranking Republican member, which could make the committee's subpoenas invalid. Yes, if Meadows' lawsuit is successful, if it's not, there is no justice left in this nation. I'll tell you that right now.
Right.
He could not only block his own subpoena, but he could see the entire committee declared invalid. Yes. Pelosi and the Democrats would have to start over, this time obeying the rules with five Republican members. And they don't want that. I'll tell you that right now. And Meadows drove home the point by naming every member of the committee as a defendant, not just Pelosi and the committee as a whole. Each of the members, including the two Republicans by name only, who are posing as defenders of the rule of law, is going to have to answer and explain why they are participating in a star chamber that violates not only the principles of the Constitution, but the explicit rules authorized by the House Democrats in a supposed effort to protect democracy. We'll see where that goes, but I don't know how it could not be overturned. I don't know how it could at this point. We'll see. Epic Times. California's Gavin Newsom vows to ban assault weapons the same way Texas restricts abortions. They're taking the Texas abortion law, which is valid, and they acknowledge it by saying that, but they say we're going to apply that to guns. Guess what? There's a problem with that. The Second Amendment in the Constitution. There is no abortion amendment in the Constitution of the United States of America. There is a Second Amendment. You're a smart person. What's your name back there? Jan? Oh, I got your name wrong. Now you need to fire your pastor. Oh, yeah. Dang it. From the Christian Post, 18 school board groups cut ties with NSBA for likening parent protests to domestic terrorism. We are now up to 18 states. The NSBA no longer has any authority at all. They might as well just close down. I'm so glad that they are doing this. Zero Hedge, California schools phase out D and F grades for high school students. Nobody fails anymore. Everybody gets moved forward. As high school students transition out of distance learning imposed by pandemic restrictions, several California districts are dropping the use of D and F grades in an attempt to re-engage students in school and boost entry into the state's public colleges. If students fail a test or don't finish their homework, they will be given another chance to retake the test or receive an extension on submitting assignments. Our hope is that students begin to see school as a place of learning, where they can take risks and learn from mistakes instead of a place of compliance. Advocates of such competency-based learning suggest that assessment should be based on what students have learned instead of how they perform in tests, which is the whole point of telling what they've learned. Democrats, I mean, this is just like bizarro world. Epic Times. No more defunding the police for Minneapolis. Oops, that was a mistake, as council allocates department budget increase. The MPD will be receiving millions of dollars as part of an increase in the department's budget, as unveiled by the mayor, essentially returning to levels before the region was the hotbed for defund the police movement. Crime has surged since the death of George Floyd last year, after which the city invested in alternative initiatives that have mostly failed to yield results. But right now, California, we saw that a week or two ago, is doing exactly the same thing, and those will fail as well. It'll never work. If you're a criminal, you need to be arrested. You need to be tried. You need to be convicted, and you need to be imprisoned. That's what you do with criminals. I don't care what color their skin is. I don't care how tall they are. I don't care how long their beard is. If they are a criminal, they need to be held accountable for their crimes. Breitbart, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. This is a man who knows less than nothing. Okay, listen to this. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Russia should worry about reputation if it invades the Ukraine. I can see Putin worrying about his reputation. Weasel zippers. Putin added 10,000 more troops to the Ukraine border after his call with Biden. Hung up the phone and said, let's add some more people in. Oh, yeah. From Z News. Russia vetoes UN resolution linking climate change as threat to international peace and security. One nation that used its brain. Actually, guess what? India sided with them. So we have two nations that said, we're not playing with this. There is no national security issue with climate change. From Fox News. North Koreans, I'm sure you heard this. If you haven't, it's not funny. North Koreans are banned from laughing. Yes, celebrating birthdays to mark anniversary of Kim Jong-il's death. That sounds like a Democrat paradise to me. No laughing. No laughing. Okay, who said it? I've made this as easy as possible for you. Yeah, I have. I predict future happiness for Americans if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them.
Thomas Jefferson.
I told you you'd get it. I knew it. We got the smartest congregation in the universe here. The universe. Thomas Jefferson. I'll read it again because he foresaw what was coming, folks. I predict future happiness for Americans if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them. He knew it was coming. Okay, I got a lesser cure for you. They'll do anything to make camels win. Using Botox is considered a sin. They'll cheat for the prize. Judges might need some spies to learn the enhanced shape they're in. Okay, I've got a couple of, I've got one irony here for you today, but before I give it to you, I would like to thank everybody that attends the Superior Word here, online, later, who watches the videos, who participates in this ministry. I'd like to thank all of you. I'd like to thank those who have especially done the work that keeps it going. There's quite a few people that do it. I'm not going to pick anybody by name because I will forget somebody and hurt feelings. But there are people from Czechoslovakia all the way to Australia and everywhere in between, Ireland, Germany. There are people that participate in doing things for the church that I could never do myself. They do it faithfully, some of them every single day of their lives. Some of them do it once a week. But they all do these things, and I'm very appreciative. And I'm also appreciative because this church has never once, since we opened, not one time asked for anything for this church, other than a letter one time for a bar that was opening next door. But we've never asked for money. We've never asked for prayers. We've never asked for anything. And yet we're still open these many years later because people have voluntarily sent help to this church. We will never ask, and if we have to, I'll probably say I'll go back to the wastewater business because I don't want to ever impose on anybody when it should be from the heart as a cheerful giver. So I want to thank everybody that has made this ministry possible. I'm very humbled. I'm grateful. I try to do my best for you in everything I do because I know that it is right because you people deserve the very best in the Word of God. So thank you. From Fox. Now, you have to understand the background before I read you the title, and then you can laugh about it. If you are driving down the road and you see a snowman, what's your inclination?
I've gone too far north.
Yes. Well, yes, that's true. That's true. I've gone too far north. But I'm talking about the child in you, not the reasoning animal, but the child in you. If you see a snowman on the side of the road and you're driving, what is your childish inclination? Yes, I'm going to run it over. That's exactly right. Okay. From Fox News, Kentucky driver seemingly tries to destroy a snowman and is surprised when he hits a tree stump. Yes. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, she's got a confused look on her face. They built the snowman over the tree stump. Yes. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.